40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, and there is a big search on in eastern Missouri for five men who escaped from the St. Francis County Jail. KMOV-TV reporter Gabriela Vidal is in Farmington, Missouri.
Newly shared video shows two of those inmates going under the parking lot gate at Centene Corporation, which is near the jail. And less than a minute later, a dark gray 2009 Toyota Scion pulls up to the gate. Three more inmates get in, and they leave.
The escaped men were facing charges ranging from burglary and property damage to assault and rape. In Massachusetts, there are now formal charges against the husband of a woman who has been missing since New Year's, Brian Walsh, accused of her killing, and other counts as well.
Do you understand those charges, Mr. Walsh? I do.
Those were the only two words Brian Walsh spoke aloud in a Quincy, Massachusetts courtroom.
The defendant is now before the court charged with murder of his wife, Anna Walsh.
Anna Walsh disappeared on New Year's Day. Though the 39-year-old's body has not been found, prosecutors are relying on surveillance video, physical evidence, and digital forensics to build a murder case.
WBZ-TV's Beth Germano, Brian Walsh, is being held without bail. He's due back in court February 9th. Our weather watch has moved east from the West Coast after weeks of storms there. Now it is snow over the Plain States and its aftermath in Colorado. KCNC-TV's Alan Genet is in Denver, where Interstate 70 really got hammered.
What happened out here? Strong winds, whiteout conditions, and then extremely slippery roads. One trucker told me one truck just began to go out of control, then another, then another, then another. Because of the difficulty in getting tow trucks out here and other help to just get this highway cleared out, don't be expecting that it'll be open anytime soon.
It is another sign and a big one of cutbacks in the tech industry. Microsoft announcing about 10,000 layoffs, cutting back from its big expansion just a couple of years ago. CNET editor Ian Schur.
In many ways, these layoffs are very unsettling. We're talking about companies that make billions of dollars in profit, and now they're saying the economic outlook is forcing them to cut costs. But it's also worth noting that in many cases, including Microsoft, these job cuts are tiny compared to the number of people they hired during the pandemic.
And back then, among the most praised leaders in the world was the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern. Now she has decided to step down.
I know what this job takes, and I know that I no longer have enough in the tank to do it justice. It's that simple.
Ukraine is in deep mourning for its interior minister and about a dozen other people killed in a helicopter crash into a kindergarten. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Looking for real one. We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with a friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Friendly competition inside the Civic Media network of our hosts. As we know, I'm a very competitive person. You know how competitive I am? Prick me to start giving blood. They tell me that there has been a contest to see who can give, who can fill up their bag the fastest. 5 minutes, 4 seconds. I got done and I said, did I win? And they said, you were the fastest all day.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour of our Hump Day Wednesday show. We're going to test the boundaries, I think, today of our listening audience. Feel free to join in the conversation, because I think this is something that we don't talk about enough. And we're going to get to that. Don't worry. But first, coming through in our last segment, someone had thoughts on the 10, being able to name 10 trees?
Yes, this was from a Guardian article. What it was, the 100 ways to make your life better. And the Guardian says you should be able to list off 10 trees that are native. And 507 texture says, as a tree lover, that was really painful to listen to. I think they mean you should learn to recognize those trees. It gives you a greater appreciation for where you live, which is great and accurate. Wisconsin has over 125 native tree species.
Thank you, 507. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you for continuing to listen. And that,
even though that was painful.
If it was painful, I will do better.
We will.
We commit to doing better.
Absolutely.
Of understanding the nature around us and learning more about the trees and the bushes and
the beauty that surrounds us.
Speaking of beauty. So I should preface this, that I am very comfortable with this word. If you didn't know this about me, probably won't find it surprising. In college, I was a part of the sexual health education program, which was, I have some funny stories. Maybe I'll tell in this segment as far as being a part of the program that we were in charge of going and giving a
talks.
Presentation on different aspects of sexual health. And then I liked it so much that even once I had been working for a couple years, but a couple years after I graduated, I was living in San Francisco. I then opted in to go through 60 hours of training to be part of, to volunteer
wow.
for the San Francisco Sex Information Hotline. And so, like, I am very comfortable with anatomical words, but not everyone is. And I brought this story up because, you know, it's not particularly a Wisconsin story, but it's a universal story. Half the population tends to have one of these. A lot of the population that doesn't have one enjoys them.
I'm just going to let you do this all on your own.
So, Mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who, you know, since he's been elected, I do not live there. I know less about him but he every once in a while has some of these hot takes, and I think he's an interesting mayor, and he has strong opinions. And I, I'm very on board with his message for this, but I think the whole message of it, he's right in how bluntly and proudly he's saying vagina in order to talk about women's health and how and why that word makes us a little jumpy. So let's play a clip of his speech promoting the new renewed effort to make, in his words, New York City the best place for women's health.
If men could get pregnant, we wouldn't see Congress trying to pass laws restricting abortion. Women are the majority of health care consumers. Many suffer from preventable health conditions, yet face more constraints and discrimination than men when it comes to getting care. They are diagnosed on average 4 years later than men across more than 700 diseases, and sometimes must wait up to 10 years or more for the right diagnosis. Think about that for a minute. A decade for the right diagnosis. Vaginal discomfort is one of the top reasons women go to the doctor, yet they are misdiagnosed more often than they are correctly diagnosed. To be clear, that is worse than a coin flip. We would have a lot more research and care options for women's health if we weren't so afraid of saying the word vagina.
The best part, so I got this article from Jezebel, which is a fairly feminist publication.
Very much so.
And the way that they start the article is, if you stare into a mirror and say vagina three times in a row, Mayor Eric Adams will appear and deliver a speech about women's health in New York City. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. So, but I think it's important because I do, as he, and he's very seriously is stating
some disturbing health
there's
statistics.
There's some very disturbing health statistic when it comes to the discrepancy between women's health and men's health, especially women's reproductive health. And I mean, there's so much of the medical history for years, for decades, when they were doing studies and tests on treatments and prescriptions, women were never in those studies
at all.
And so there wasn't even a conversation around, well, maybe this affects women differently. Maybe we should have a variety of people. But it's the same thing that goes with different races, different sizes. And I am team Eric Adams on this issue of if everyone, because actually in the speech, the part that we, I don't think we have the clip for this, but he literally says, he's like, if we can talk about erect, I'm going to say it, there's nothing wrong with it. Destigmatize it.
We see ads for it all the time.
But he says, if we can talk about erectile dysfunction, we should be able to talk about clitoral stimulation. And I'm laughing about it because it's like, it's something that we are so bad at talking about. We're so bad at sexual health education in this country. And it leads to bad health outcomes. And so I felt like I pinged this to you last night and I said, are we talking about this? And you said yes.
I did.
So you're here. And you said, how does this make you feel?
Again, I think this is very much a generational thing.
Okay.
It makes me uncomfortable.
The word itself. Is it just because it's a bad word?
No.
Like, it's just phonetically, you're like, eh.
No. Eh. It's more of those, we don't talk about those things.
Okay.
In private. You know, in public. Shh.
But we do, but the thing is, we talk about the other sex's genitalia with not the same kind of discomfort, right?
But isn't that part of...
We make lots of statues that look like that.
Ah! Part of that, though, is the shame, embarrassment. We don't talk about lady parts. I think...
You're down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to slang terms a little bit later this half hour, hilarious.
Yes, slang terms for that, but also slang terms in general that are outdated. But if you have thoughts, and I'm hopefully people are still there and we haven't turned everyone off and they've moved on to different things to listen to, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Because I read this article, and I think I feel like this is a speech you would be more comfortable hearing from a woman politician. And there's something about him and his kind of like gruffness, like I was a New York cop, and that's like a little, it's not off-putting. Like I said, I'm glad that he's talking about it and it's so blunt about it, but we're so not used to it. And so there is something headline making about this and about this topic. And have we ever talked about vagina monologues?
I think we did briefly once.
In it once.
I was,
right?
I was in it
in college. And yep. So which monologue did you do?
I did several. I did the moaning.
Nice. Nice.
It eventually turned out really well.
Oh, yeah, because that was the story that your first, because you were doing it with a bunch of
pros,
like professional actresses.
Yeah, they were professionals.
And you came in, and at first they were a little judgy on your delivery.
Oh, they were like, you're not really going to do that on stage, are you? I mean, they didn't say that to me, but so I went home and I reworked the whole piece.
Because what was your approach? Were you doing it more as a joke rather than like actually committing to it?
I wasn't committing enough.
Okay. You weren't actually in the mind of someone who professionally makes women moan?
Right.
Got it.
And
so you got the character.
Yes. So I found the character, yes. Yes. But even that show hasn't been around now for... Is that still touring?
Oh, that's... Well, it doesn't tour so much as you buy... And it's coming up. I mean, it's always in... It's almost always in February. At least college campuses. It's always on... It's V-Day.
Oh, that's right.
And so it's around... It's always on and around Valentine's Day. And you purchase the rights, and all of the money that goes buying the rights goes towards is different nonprofits and organizations that specifically violence against women and girls nationally, internationally. Eve Ensler.
Yes. And it's a wonderful, wonderful piece.
And
very funny, very poignant.
Early 90s when she first wrote it. So this conversation, and it was so much around exactly what we're talking about, is people, including vagina owners, not being comfortable talking about it and referring to it as they're down there and having no relationship with it and being very disconnected from it. And so the whole show, which is just a series of monologues, was built off of thousands of conversations and interviews that the playwright Eve Ensler had.
With women from all over the world.
Yes. And that now it's to this day. I mean, I would imagine at Berkeley, they're still doing it. Like that was a big deal. It was one of the biggest. We had one of the biggest and like most well-attended annual productions of it. I think across any campus in the country.
And I remember distinctly that my male co-host at that time was repulsed.
Really?
That I was going to do it. Yes.
I want to ask you more about that off air.
Okay.
Because
that'll be in the book one day.
So I would love for you to join the conversation on this because it's obviously I'm having a great time because I appreciate things that should be more comfortable to talk about that historically have not been, but it is something that is so linked to our health and we should be more comfortable with it. And so if you have thoughts on this topic, I don't even know exactly what my question is. I guess my question is, does this make you uncomfortable?
Or what's
does
your,
this conversation right now make you uncomfortable? What are you going to ask?
And what is your preferred slang term?
That too. That's a more fun one. All right. 844-967-2789. We are going to keep this conversation going when we come back from the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw.
Then we're going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy overnight, with mixed precipitation likely, changing to all snow. Lows level off around 32. Winds out of the east, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, highs around 39. Overcast again tomorrow night, chance for snow, lows around 26. About an inch of snow overnight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today during the 1 o'clock hour. We are having a very, I find, fun conversation. Jane, are you having fun?
It's interesting. I don't think you're wrong. I really don't. And like I said, I find it to be a very generational thing. And I also think this is yet another example of what massive hypocrites we are, because we sexualize everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are surrounded by sexual images. It's used in most of our advertising. We are surrounded by sexuality all the time. And then when it comes to talking about it in the medical sense, with the actual terms that stand for these body parts, we're like, ew, I can't, ooh.
But we're also, it's, yes, what you say, it's like the visual of sexualization, but the actual understanding of anatomy,
it's an entirely
big disconnect.
Oh, whole different thing.
And so we asked before the break, largely one, I think if there is a slang term that you use for the word vagina, or whether or not this conversation of even talking about it makes you uncomfortable. And this all started from Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, gave a speech in the promotion of their initiative in the city to improve women's health, in which he said all these new initiatives that they're doing and trying to shorten the gap and the discrepancy between health outcomes for men and women. And he very blatantly said, he's like, we should be more comfortable saying the word vagina. So we are having that conversation. So 844-967-2789. You can feel free to text in if you don't want to be on the radio, but also call in. Because I think it's a good conversation to have. And so...
We have Ron on the phone who wants to join us. Whoops. Ron, thank you so much for calling. What do you want to say?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say you guys have a great show. I come for the Q-in songs, but I stay for the fun. this is pretty fun. I just want to say, as a man, I identify with a lot of what you're saying, just in terms of my own parts, and but also... the parts of my female friends and my wife, it's awkward, you know, because I was raised when I was hitting puberty, I was told, you know, you're not supposed to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point my mom sat me down, and not my dad, but my mom, and kind of told me a little bit about the birds and bees and handed me a little book that had been handed down through the family, through the generations. And it was called Whatever Young Man Should Know.
Nice.
And we still have trouble doing a biology. I didn't understand any of this until I got to biology class years later. But, there's just this total, and it's an Americanism, that's this total discomfort with pointing to something and saying, that wobbly part is called a penis, so that part over there, that squishy part over there, is called something else. And
maybe a labia?
And so we make up all these, pardon?
I said, maybe a labia?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. If you can spell it. But you have to keep coming up with these euphemisms. And, of course, then we have a culture that makes fun of other people. Men had, when I was a boy, a teenager, and even in college, a lot of sorts of shame about guys picking on other guys about the size of their equipment.
Yeah.
You know, or I could do this, can you do that? Or have you done this with that? You know what I mean? There's all of that sort of thing. But the female experience was a complete mystery to most of us until we actually met and became involved with and listened to the women in our life, the girls in our life.
Ron, I just find it so interesting that your mother is the one who sat down to have the talk with you and not your father.
Well, he was a strong guy in many ways, but he was kind of a nervous wimp in some other ways. I mean, I love the guy, but he was a classic guy who grew up in the middle of the 20th century and was embarrassed to talk about these things because he was raised not to talk about
them. Yeah.
And it's really hard to break these youthful habits and youthful lessons. And again, a lot of people don't want their kids learning about any of this stuff, wobbly parts or whatever, in biology class in the sixth grade forever, so that makes it harder still.
Absolutely. So, thanks so much for the call, Ron. That was super valuable. And I feel like we need to add wobbly parts to our list of slang
euphemisms.
We're going to get to that later in today's show. Because I love hearing a man's perspective on this, of feeling like he also, both for the opposite sex, but also for yourself, of like, how do you refer to these things? How do you talk about these things? And it's like, it is part of your body. And it is things that need to get, not only for like the sexual side of things, but like it is also for us, where the baby comes out.
And some major health things go on around there.
And so if we can't talk about it, if we're not even comfortable talking about it, how are we supposed to be comfortable talking about it with our kids? And so we don't have enough time to do it right now, but we're going to, when we come back, I think the actual anatomy of it, and this video has been done multiple times, but we have the audio from one of the videos I've seen on a young woman, young, very, very young. She's in like her 20s, and she goes around and asks men. She has a printout of a female anatomy of a uterus and a vagina and the ovaries and everything. And so it's that view, and just asks a handful of men if they can point to where the vagina is on this diagram. And so we're going to play that when we come back. Think about it for yourself.
Could you find it?
Could you find it? If you were approached by a random stranger who had a camera on them, do you think you would buckle under the pressure, or do you know which number on the diagram it would be? I almost made Mike do this last night and film him. And then I decided he's the butt of my joke enough, and I wasn't going to put him on the spot like that. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Five men are on the loose after escaping from a county jail in eastern Missouri. They were there on charges ranging from burglary and property damage to assault and rape. Area resident David Sparks.
I figure if they saw that car just a mile from here, They have 3 hour head start, so they're probably not in this area.
Massachusetts authorities accuse Brian Walsh of killing his missing wife and of online searches for how to dispose of a body. CBS's Nancy Chen.
Prosecutors also say Walsh bought $450 worth of supplies in cash, including a hacksaw, towels, and cleaning materials.
The Denver area got some serious snow, enough to cause some big travel problems, but also some joy for kids.
You gotta get out. We've been like off school for like what feels like 2 months. Yeah. So you gotta change it up. Yep. Just home a lot.
That snow system has now moved on to the Plain States and upper Midwest. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are doing our best in this 1 o'clock hour on Wednesday, January 18th, 2023, to destigmatize the word vagina.
Thank you, Mayor Eric Adams in New York, for getting this all started.
So, Karina, we got Karina on the call.
Karina is on the line. Karina, what do you want to say?
Well, couple things, ladies. Since I'm coming from a little bit different culture, the cultural shock of America is that you don't expect that Americans have such a problem with a naked body, period. It's either vulgar or screaming a fashion. And when you're going down to the level of a family, some people would say, oh, my parents had sex only twice because we have only two kids in the family. So it's absolutely hypocritic, and it, I think it's coming from our families as is, because it shouldn't be a subject of a shush. We're not talking about it in front of kids, or we're not talking about it in front of family. And having sex after you got married is kind of not even existing. So how you expect that the kids would feel comfortable being talked to about something where you're not even touching that topic at all until they get to the puberty?
Yeah.
So I think that if overall, it's more of a shocking and a strict experience and the knowledge for people, and then they just accommodate it to social norms. But yet, if you go to a beach, you can't be topless. What happened? You never seen a breast before? Why you cannot be topless? Why is it vulgar?
Yeah, that,
why is it not accepted?
The attitude in Europe is so much different about the human body.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's remarkable.
Thanks so much for the call, Karina. You said we got a couple texts?
We do. Checking in from the 323. That's your old stomping ground.
Yes, it is.
Don't fear or have shame about genitals. That's for Republicans. And Tom from Stalas, checking in. Tom from West Dallas just says, great show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Really appreciate it.
So, as we said before the break, we're going to play this. So you have to visual, because obviously there's a visual that goes with this, but I just think it's, so if you can imagine any biology class or anatomy class of what, and maybe you don't know this, and that's part of the problem, so you should Google this, just not when you're driving, of the female reproductive system.
It's a basic diagram.
It's a basic diagram that includes the parts. There's the fallopian tubes, the ovaries, a uterus, a vagina, and there's different like lines on it that point to a number, and if you're taking a test, it's like, name these parts. So, a young woman, a very prominent TikToker, I'm pretty sure she probably made this around the time that Roe v. Wade was getting overturned, so I think it's within the last couple months that she made this. You know, it's like, I think she lives in L.A., so she was out on like a Saturday or Sunday when people are day drinking, and she goes around and asks men to point to where on the diagram a vagina is.
Do y'all ever wonder, do men know? Well, today we're going to figure that out. Can anyone tell me where the vagina is on this diagram?
I don't know. It took me a couple of times to find it.
Trick question. That's not a vagina.
There is a vagina on this diagram.
Five.
Incorrect.
Is it a men's pelvis?
At the very bottom.
Which number?
Actually, probably at the top.
I think four through five.
No, those are all different things.
There's three, right? Don't answer that.
No. Okay. Four.
No, you were so close. It's three.
You said three. Why'd you say four?
That's a cervix.
No.
I'd imagine number four.
Incorrect. That would be the vulva.
Vulva.
Okay, so collectively, y'all have guessed every part except for where the vagina actually is. Okay, could you tell me what number one is, though?
I dare not, because this is going to be on record forever.
Period.
Someone asked me, someone slid into my DMs back in end of June, early July, asking me to do that exact
bit
with our Republican legislatures in... legislators in Madison. I was like, first of all, I don't think any of them are going to talk to me. But it does make you wonder.
It does.
For the amount of people who are making laws about it, how would they do on that test? I don't know. But again, if you are... I'm going to say it. I might get in trouble. We have a new program director, so we'll see how he feels about this new segment. Hi, Bill. But it feels like one of those things. It's like if you're gonna have relations, sexual relations with a body part, maybe you should know where it is, what it looks like, how it functions. Maybe just a little bit more than it seemed like at least those guys understood.
Well, yes, and certainly if you're going to legislate said body part, you should know more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, but it's funny because to transition this a little bit, but I think it is a really fascinating conversation, and it feels like we're getting some other people also think it's interesting. So who knows? Maybe we'll have a monthly sexual health. Maybe I'll bring back my my sexual health credentials.
See,
so this is. I will tell this story before we get into some of the slang. That's fun to think back because, like, this word is old, and words for it are old.
And for both male and female.
Yes. But I'll quickly tell this story because it's one of my favorites of my time of being a sexual health educator. So I was not in a sorority, and there's no judgment about being a sorority, but when I got there, I was in Vagina Monologues, and I was a bartender, and I had my friends in other places. And I also just felt too old to pledge because I was a little bit older.
Sure.
But I, being part of it was called SHEP, Sexual Health Education Program, and there was one sorority, Kappa, which was one of the stereotypical, like, really pretty popular girl sororities. And all the sororities and fraternities had to at least once a semester or once a year have either the alcohol, like alcohol education,
sure,
or sexual health education, maybe one semester and the other. It was a long time ago. So I know, because I'm a bartender, I know a fair amount of girls who are in Kappa. I've been in classes with them. And so we sign up, and are like, I'll do the cap one. And my partner, because we always did presentations in twos, was a lovely woman, young woman, but very awkward. Very awkward. Certainly not of the, she didn't hang out with, like, sorority girls. And there was a very different type of person. And so we walk in, and I didn't know what, like, the Monday night meetings for sororities are. I did not know what I was walking into. So what happens is they have these meetings, and at least at Kappa, but I think in multiple sororities, you have to dress up.
Oh, wow.
Like, they have to wear, like, dresses. So I walk in, because I have to go to bartend later, in, like, it's like a white tank top, like, beater type shirt, and, like, boyfriend jeans that I probably should have been wearing a belt. Like, I am not dressed up. Let's put it that way.
So you didn't stick out at all.
And I walk in carrying a 3-foot diagram of vagina. Just like the ones you get from Walgreens that are like the threefold ones. And I walk in and I make eye contact with one of my friends from a class. And she just, like, starts shaking her head. She's like, oh, man, good luck. And we proceed to do our routine that goes through actual the health part, like, this is the anatomy. And then we go through different parts about not getting pregnant and contraceptives and different disease, like STIs, yeah, and stuff you can get. And then we ended with sexual pleasure. And, like, we had brought sex toys and stuff. This was the three parts of this educational program. And I'll never forget, and I think I bring up the story because I think it goes to this. When we got to birth control, how many questions we had. How many hands shot right up in the air of clearly women who are young women who were having sex, who were trying to not get pregnant. And then we got to sexual pleasure, not a single question. Not a single question. And I just, that always stuck out to me as far as what, as young women, we are told to, I'm a little bit older. It might be different now for Gen Z, but, like, the empowerment, or, like, you're clearly having sex, but are you having fun? I don't know. You know, and, like, no one talks, like, you're not really talking about it,
right,
and not being comfortable enough amongst your peers, your quote unquote sisters, to ask about it. But yes.
And I have to think that it's got to be worse for young men, because I don't, and this is.
Oh, to, like, ask questions?
Right.
Yeah.
And certainly not of each other.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you be opening yourself up for mockery? Do you mean you don't know that? What do you mean? Yeah. Like our caller said, you know, I would just think.
Well, I mean, this is really getting, maybe, yeah, I'm not going to say this. Now, should I go for it?
Well, let's.
Yeah. Because
we're obviously going to be coming back to this.
We are obviously going to be coming back to this. But I think I think you're right. And it goes to a conversation we've had at least twice, is then where do they go? They go to porn.
Yes. Which is not a good place.
Which, yeah, and this is not a judgment on porn. This is a judgment on learning about sex via porn.
Right.
Because porn is not real life. Anyways, you want to hear some? So here's a fun fact of the etymology of the word vagina.
Okay.
It is a Latin word meaning a sheath, like a sheath for a sword.
Oh, okay.
So can you tell that men named
it? Oh, well, didn't they name everything?
But yeah. And so obviously, what was the sword in the analogy of where that word comes from?
I think I'm following.
Yeah. So, but that's not to say that over the timeline of slang words began back in 1250.
Wow.
And do you want to guess what the at least on record, what this, because this comes from the Jonathan Green, who has dedicated his life to studying slang. And so his book, Green's Dictionary of Slang, this is coming from that. It's one that's pretty derogatory now.
For male or female?
Female. The Brits and the Australians say it a lot.
Oh, it starts with a C.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday. But that was, at one point, that was like, that was just what she called it.
Wow.
It was not a derogatory name for something. But then they became a little bit more poetic. Venus's honeypot.
Okay.
From the this is the early 1700s. Quim whiskers. That was the late 1800s. Then in 1900s, that thing.
Well, that's really nice. So personal.
The minds of vagina label innovators apparently turned to food by the end of the 20th century, as evidenced by Bikini Burger.
Oh, man.
Hairy donut. And a bacon sandwich.
We do have a clip from a Netflix series called Grace and Frankie.
Great show.
Yes, it is a wonderful show with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And this is just a brief clip when they decide that they're going to go into business making vibrators for older women with arthritis.
We're making vibrators for women with arthritis.
Yes, vibrators.
Brilliant.
Jeez, let my water break. Oh. I think I just blacked out.
Oh, grow up. Older women masturbate too.
Mom!
And we have vaginas.
Why is it every time my family gathers for a meal, someone has to bring up my mother's vagoo?
Just say woodle like a grown-up.
Okay.
Woodle?
I've never heard woodle.
I know.
Oh, all right. Well, if you hated this hour, I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, but I get it. I hope that you loved it. I really liked talking about it. I think it is, I genuinely, jokes aside, do think it's important to talk about.
And it
I
is
think
important.
In the rare air that Jane and I swim in of women who have a talk radio show, especially in Wisconsin, there's not a lot of us. And so I don't see this topic happening on other shows. And I think it's important. So I'm happy.
It's part of life.
And you're only a couple shades of red.
Good.
Good.
But then I did pretty good.
All right. Well, we are going to wrap up the show when we come back. This has been very fun. But yeah, we're still taking your texts and your calls. So we still have 10 minutes left in the show. So feel free to give us a call or a text. 844-967-2789. I got lost in my own thoughts. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Most reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Snow likely overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows dip down to about 32. Easterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 39. Chance for snow tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 26. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow overnight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic, maybe something about sexual health.
Great.
That's a great question. Which school district do you think is doing the most comprehensive, accurate, helpful sexual health education in Wisconsin?
Wow.
I don't think you know, but if someone knows that, or the worst, that's a way to bring it back to Wisconsin. But does not have to be sexual health related. It can be anything. We love hearing topics from you or guest ideas for guests to have on. You can always shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And final reminder for today that we are a week away from the $1 million advertising giveaway of Civic Media, literally giving you free ad space. So if you have a small business, if you think you would benefit from some airtime to promote your business, you should mark your calendars for January 26th, Thursday. So it's a week from tomorrow, 9 a.m. And you go to civicmedia.us/million and you'll answer a couple questions. And then you'll work with our sales team to help you figure out what even goes into a radio spot. So definitely do that. But when you're there, just remember, you got to tell them. What did they tell them, Jane?
You heard it from Jane and Kristen.
Jane and Kristen sent you.
Yep.
Very important to put that part in.
It's a point of pride.
All right, so
we have a nice texter that checked in after our last couple segments about proper terminology for genitalia. And a texter from 414 says that was some very entertaining radio, ladies.
Yes!
So thank you so much for that.
So we're not done yet, because we did the slang terms for some female anatomy. But, it's only fair. For the penis slang timeline.
So many.
So it begins in the year 1300.
Wow.
The first known usage of the word bollocks.
Bollocks.
Ballocks. Ballocks. B-A-L-L-O-C-K-S.
Oh, B-A.
B-A. Not bollocks like, oh, bollocks.
Bollocks. Ballocks. Wow. Ballocks. Interesting. Okay.
With my Wisconsin accent.
Nice.
And it had longevity. So you can still find it on the lips of frustrated Brits even today. Is this something that Paul's ever said? Is that bollocks?
It's B-U-L-L.
Yeah. With a slight vowel
yep.
adjustment.
Yep.
So longevity. So then English speakers only got more creative from there. Fiddle, spindle, pulling prick, all cropped up in the Middle Ages to describe the penis, while bushwhacker, cranny hunter.
I'm still stuck on spindle.
Well, like a spindle on a, like, when, like, but, not Rapunzel.
I get what you're going. Okay,
with,
okay.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was her name? What's the girl's name in that fairy tale? But she was spinning straw into gold.
With her hair.
In the spindle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's Rapunzel. Whatever. We're not going to fight about that. All right. So fiddle, spindle, pulling prick. Cranny hunter is really something. Fornicating engine.
Wow. When was that from?
I don't know. I have to look at the book. This is just, I actually feel like this book would be really fun to get. This is a book from Jonathan Green, and it's called Green's Dictionary of Slang. And so that, I mean, that book, it sounds like, is slang, not just sexual anatomy,
but all kinds of,
all kinds of slang.
Right.
But this is coming from that. So the fornicating engine is really something. Captain Standish. And I'm sure there's more. I mean, the thing is, like, if we actually really wanted to go there, I'm sure there's a lot of slang terms today that are not necessarily they're newer.
Yes.
But there is still plenty of them.
Oh, yes. Oh. One of my favorites, and this is from an old radio bit that we used to do, and she was a comedian in New York, and her mother used to leave her voice messages. And they were just hilarious, depending upon what was going on in her daughter's life. And she would leave these voicemail messages for her, and then she would share them and play them. And she milked this out for quite a long time. But she always referred to a man's penis as a schmeckle. And I've never...
Yiddish?
I think it is Yiddish.
It sounds like it would be Yiddish.
I just think that's always been my favorite and preferred slang, because I think it's funny.
Say it again?
Schmeckle.
Schmeckle. Yiddish is an incredible language.
It is.
There's so many fun words of just words that are like, that had the good mouthfeel.
And they sound funny, and they are funny.
Schmeckle.
Schmeckle.
I'm going to Schmeckle.
Schmeckle.
All right.
S-C-H.
Can't wait to use that with Mike.
S-C-H-M-E-C-K-E-L would be my preferred spelling of Schmeckle.
What was it? You couldn't remember the comedian's name?
I can't. This is decades ago. When we still left voice messages for each other on answering machines.
Yeah. You know what's funny? This is a tangent. Were you a Seinfeld fan?
No.
We, every once in a while, for like background noise, we'll put on Netflix, because they're all there, like a Seinfeld episode. And when you start from the very beginning, because that show started in 1989, he had a service. He didn't have a machine. He had an answering service.
Oh, wow.
And so like that, at some point, it was people's jobs to take your message.
Yes.
When people tried to get a hold of you, and then you would have to call them and get the message from them, because it wasn't like a machine at your house. Isn't that wild?
Well, and that's a carryover from the 60s. That was happening in the 60s, where you had a service and you would call in for your messages. That's really old school.
Well, think about an operator who could just also like listen to all of your conversations.
Yes.
It was just like, oh, I'll put you through.
Most powerful person in the office, man, the operator.
Yeah. And so, this was I had a lot of fun. I had so much fun. And it seems like other people had fun. If you are offended by this segment, do not email us. Email info@civicmedia.com.
It shouldn't. These are medical terms, yes, people, that we should all be comfortable with. And as Karina said, we are the most awkward people in the world, just as far as how much we love sex, but we don't actually want to talk about what's really involved with sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly different in Europe. Sounds like it's different in Russia.
There's just
a
lot more
about the conversations around sex in Asian culture and different Asian cultures.
But certainly Europeans are much more comfortable with going naked to the beach. And it's not a thing.
All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. That is about going to do it for us. But if you want to stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, our friend Dan Schaefer is joining the show at 2:30. If you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you have the Chad Holmes Show coming up next. And for us, that is that's our Wednesday show. Greg Bach will be here next Wednesday if you missed him. But we will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. to do this again. So this has been As Goes Wisconsin. Have a great day.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit.
No, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership and say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.